answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I think what we're witnessing right before our eyes is a power struggle inside of Iran. And yes, Ghalibaf, while he was a general in the IRGC at one point, right along with Vahidi, who is now the head general in the IRGC, Ghalibaf does represent the political side of it because he's the speaker, head speaker in the parliament. And I think they are really at odds. We have talked to Ghalibaf in the past, and so we know for a fact that he is wanting to make some compromises on the deal. In other words, some concessions to the United States. It's likely, we don't know for a fact, but Vahidi disagrees with all of that. And this power struggle is going on, and what will be the resolution of it?
What will be the resolution? That was four-star general retired Jack King talking about the Iranian parliament leader, Ghalibaf, I should say. The question is he really in charge? We're not really sure. We're trying to hold talks with those representing Iran, and yet it's not clear who we're supposed to be talking to. Now, he's putting himself forward as saying that he is, and he's going to reveal new cards on the battlefield, whatever that means, and stating that Trump, by imposing a siege and violating the ceasefire, which we didn't, seeks to turn this negotiating table in his own imagination into a table of surrender or to justify renewed warmongering. We do not accept negotiations under the shadow of threats. So in the past 2 weeks, we have prepared to reveal new cards on the battlefield. I think he's just blowing smoke. What new cards would they have? What new abilities or weapons would they have? And keep in mind, from the time that we started trying to deal with Iran militarily, we have greatly increased our forces and ability in the region. And yet, we still have some even in our midst that will not accept what Trump is doing. You don't have to accept everything he's doing. I'm not asking you to do that. First of all, I'm not encouraging you to do anything I suggest. That's your decision. And we might have difference of degrees. But do you accept the fact that it's a good idea and good for our nation and the world for sitting members of Congress to go to a foreign country just to trash Trump while we're in the midst of this war action? And then, of course, you got the legacy media. Rachel Maddow, her statement. You know, we need to go to the mullahs to fact-check Trump. Are you serious? Yeah, unfortunately, she is. California Congressman Ro Khanna said, and I had a clip of that earlier in the first hour. Did you miss the first hour? What a shame. You can pull out the podcast. I encourage you to do it. But Ro Khanna was basically telling Maria Bartiromo, I think I'd take the Iranians' word over Trump's word. Are you serious? Yes, he is. All right, here we go with hour number two, Larry Connors USA. And I don't care what hour we have, we're out of the gate like a bull. Every time. We bring you news, analysis, commentary, and education. Every hour you're going to learn something that you did not know as we began that hour. Give you an example. In the last hour, our segment, The Story Behind the Story, which we now air in the 6 o'clock hour every day, dealt with when you could buy a home through Sears Roebuck catalog. Thousands of homes were built that way. Some big box lumber stores are now offering the same thing. And of course, the other thing that put an end to build your own home was mobile homes. That's what we lived in, as my dad worked in the oil field patch. Yes, I'm oil field trash and proud of it. And we moved a lot. It's a lot easier to move when you got wheels under the home. So we'd never really had a, quote, structured home until I was in maybe the third grade, I'm thinking, in Odessa, Texas. I have no way of knowing how much pride that gave my father and mother to have an actual home. But back in the 20s and into the early 40s, that's what Sears Roebuck was doing for thousands who wanted their own home but couldn't afford it unless they bought a kit, and all the parts would be delivered with the plans via railroad station. And then you, with help of friends, family, maybe hiring some, would put the home up. Many of them still exist, even in this area. If you missed that story, go back and pull up our first hour. Podcast available at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. Coming up, a shocking survey. I consider it a shocking survey on Americans' changing view of Israel. And I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. But we'll get to that before this hour is out. Back to what we're trying to do now with Iran and what Iran's options might be. Again, four-star General Jack King.
There's a couple of paths here. One, take President Trump serious that if you don't come to the negotiating table and the ceasefire ends, by the way, it's Wednesday, not Tuesday it ends, and if it ends on Wednesday and he promises to go back to full combat operations. But let me, so our audience understands, we have twice the capability on the U.S. side in the theater now than when we had when we started the war. We have never given up bringing in additional assets to assist with the execution of our wartime objectives. The Israelis, who had some ammunition shortages, have full magazine depth now. So if we go back to combat operations, they are going to be absolutely full throttle and considerably more dramatic than anything the Iranians have experienced, to include all the targets the president is talking about, and then some.
And then some. And you're going to hear in a moment how fast we can react if Iran does not want to do, quote, legitimate concessions and bargaining. You heard General King talk about the date and time difference. It's Tuesday here. It's Wednesday already in the Middle East. Iran is 8.5 hours from the U.S. The talks are being held in Pakistan, Islamabad, Pakistan. That's 10 hours from St. Louis time. So as you're listening to the program right now, they're already well into the day of Wednesday. And Trump has said Wednesday is the deadline, and I will not extend it. That's what he said. And we'll see if anything changes that. But when questioned by Maria Bartiromo, Trump made it very clear, if they're not going to work with us, they will pay a price.
Do you think they will ultimately consent and say they're not going to continue building a nuclear weapon? How will you verify?
If they don't, we're not making a deal, okay? So there's no deal. This whole thing about it was is really about no nuclear. They cannot have a nuclear weapon. And if they're going to have a nuclear weapon, we'll be living with them for a little while, but I don't know how much longer they can survive. We could take out every one of their bridges in 1 hour. We could take out every one of their power plants, electric power plants, in 1 hour.
In 1 hour. Now, those who travel the bridges should know you probably should stay off of them. Those who work in the power plants, you probably don't want to go to work. But if the Iranian Revolutionary Guard is demanding you go, or else we will kill you and your family, you're probably going to go. But again, the talks are very fluid. It will change before I finish this sentence, let me tell you that. And at the last word, the very last word as I speak is, Vice President Vance, not going to be going to Islamabad. And Iran is saying no talks with the U.S. for now. Another stall tactic, possibly. It certainly would be. And General King says what we're seeing Iran do, continue to test Trump.
Listen, hardliners here. Vahidi has a couple of choices here. One, okay, work it out with Galibov and let's not test the president. Let's go to the negotiations, but put some strict controls on Galibov in those negotiations. Or, and they're capable of this, Sean, test the president and accept going back to combat operations, because in the end, where they are, they believe that the president will not go completely to the end of it. The pressure on him politically and economically will force him to end it prematurely, and they'll still be standing, and they'll have leverage as a result of it. And no negotiations taking place at all is what he is possibly thinking. And I'm trying to put my head inside a bona fide hardliner who was the guy that was in charge of the Quds Force, and guess who he gave that job over to? Qasem Soleimani. So this is the elk of what we're dealing with here. I just wanted our viewers to understand some of the thought processes that may be going on here, and even the extreme that I'm mentioning, and why wouldn't they accept what's plausible and also reasonable? Well, because this is the Iranians. And we got long time history with how unreasonable they actually are, and they don't care about their people. They care about what? Personal survival, the regime surviving.
Exactly. And in this country, we have those who hate Trump so much they'd rather side with Iran. Are you going to accept the legacy media carrying the water for Iran, except the idiocy of Rachel Maddow? Oh, we need to talk to the mullahs to verify everything Trump says. And even to the extent that some members of Congress have acknowledged, well, we believe Iran more so. Ro Khanna of California said it. Basically, I believe the Iranians, the regime, more than I do our president. Then you got Democrat Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy. He wrote on his X post regarding the fact that supposedly 26 ships in Iran's shadow fleet didn't make it past the U.S. blockade in the Gulf of Oman. I don't know if they did or didn't, and if they were allowed to go through when we could have stopped them. It was what we did the other day with one. Now, there were conflicting reports on that ship we stopped the other day by hitting the engine room. We warned them repeatedly, stop, and they continued, said, evacuate your engine room because we're going to blow a hole in it. So again, we did not want to kill anyone, but we're going to stop the ship. And there were various reports coming out that it was an oil cargo ship, oil being brought in by a tanker. Other reports said it was just a cargo ship. And the cargo involved drones and other items of that nature from China going to Iran. I don't know what the fact is, other than the ship was stopped. But the report of 26 ships in Iran's shadow fleet got past the blockade, whether that's a fact or not, Senator Murphy of Connecticut said one word, awesome. Awesome. And yet in the midst of the Democrats, there is some sanity. Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman.
I might be the only Democrat that supports, you know, what's happened through Epic Fury, but I am the only Democrat, definitely in the Senate, and now the only Democrat in Congress, I think, now to support Epic Fury at this point. And I'll never understand why my party just can't just see that there's been a lot of good developments through a lot of these things. I mean, I don't, you know, to pulverize the Iranian military, every single Democrat has said we can never allow Iran to acquire a nuclear bomb. And now they've been the evil regime. And I think eliminating their leadership is a strong development. And then I thought, I mean, almost like the media and the Democrats were gleeful, you know, when Iran, you know, took the strait. And then, and then that pivot, you know, we remind the world that we run it, we control it. And that forced China to get involved and to push Iran to just acknowledge, you know, that's checkmate.
It is checkmate. And at this point, we're waiting to see if we clear the board entirely, and we might well do it. Well, of course, a lot of this also weighs with consumers complaining, oh, my gas prices are up and other prices. Yes, but can you not understand the sacrifice of our young men and women downrange in harm's way versus your concern over a couple more pennies for a gallon of gas? I feel for you if it's difficult. I do. But I'm more concerned about the human lives, American lives, in danger. And, of course, the midterms might be a test of what's going to happen going forward. Well, Judicial Watch says integrity issues are still at stake.
We have crossed another humongous threshold, which is the removal of 6 million dirty names from the voter rolls nationally. 6 million number has been reached and arguably surpassed as a result of new information we have from the state of Colorado in response to a settlement and lawsuit and just great work by our lawyers to clean up the voter rolls in Colorado. They informed us that 372,000 inactive voters have been removed from Colorado's voter rolls after Judicial Watch's lawsuit and settlement.
Good, good. Get them out of here. In the meantime, we know groups like Act Blue have been working with Soros money and everything, trying to swing the elections, to cheat. House depositions underway with Act Blue employees, and the reports are that those employees have pled the fifth more than 100 times. You can't convict them for perjury if they say, I'm taking the fifth. So they know what they need to cover up. And that's why we need to make sure you are active for the midterms. And then we have new surveys out regarding what America thinks of Israel. This from CNN and Harry Anton. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gesund height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington, Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Israel is losing support here in the United States, even amongst Republicans. Take a look at this data. Take a look at this data amongst young Republicans. Look at this massive shift that we have had over just the last 4 years. The net favorability of Israel among Republicans under the age of 50. You know, you go back to 2022. Two thumbs up. Two thumbs up for Israel amongst young Republicans. But by 2025, look at this. Already a 30-point shift away. Their net favorability down to minus two. Today, look at this. Minus 16 points. That's an over 40-point shift in just one, two, three, 4 years' time away from Israel amongst young Republicans.
That is a major shift. And he's talking about young Republicans. We're going to break it down in more detail. That's Harry Etten on CNN, and I believe that particular survey was a Gallup survey. In fact, I think all the sound bites you're going to hear from him refer to a recent Gallup survey. There might be some other surveys thrown in. But again, young Republicans turning away from Israel. And why is part of the question? Well, I'll share one thing that might explain it. This attitude of, we're going to be a big tent. We want everybody. We want everybody in our tent. I'm going to throw a wrench into that idea in a moment. But let me go to Virginia Congressman Suhas Subramaniam. Maybe I'm mispronouncing it. I'm not mispronouncing it on purpose. It's S-U-B-R-A-M-A-N-Y-A-M. And his nationality, ethnicity, I don't see here in front of me, but it's what he has to say that I'm really concerned about. He's saying that if a Democrat U.S. Senate candidate, a former Wayne County Health Director, Abu al-Sayed, recently said that he thinks Israel's government is as evil as Hamas. May I repeat that for you? Israel's government is as evil as Hamas. And this Democrat Virginia congressman said, if that guy wins the primary in Michigan, I would still want him to win over the Republican. The reality is we need a majority in the Senate. Well, that is a true reality. He said, we're a big tent party. And right now we have to welcome everyone who wants to be part of our party. Really? You'd welcome in those who had no issue with slaughtering innocent men, women, and children on October 7th when Hamas invaded Israel. You have no issue with that. Well, then let me propose this. You want a big tent party? How about you invite all members, past, present, and future, of the KKK into your party? How would that go over? You know it wouldn't. So why be willing to pull in someone who likes Hamas over Israel? They're seeing writing on the wall is what they're doing. I'm not saying it's correct, but they're testing the wind. And I would imagine in some cases, huffing and puffing to redirect the wind. But again, back to the survey results. N did a piece talking about moderate and lib Republicans. I'm going to ask you right now, what is a liberal Republican? Well, I can think of some people who would fall into that category. They can be called liberal, but I would strip them of the title Republican. But here's what the survey says.
How about amongst moderate or liberal Republicans? They make up about a third of the Republican base at this point in time. The net favorability of Israel with moderate liberal Republicans back in 2022, again, two thumbs up. You'll notice I do a lot of Siskel and Ebert references. I just really like them. At plus 26 points. Today, again, negative territory, minus 9 points. That's a 35-point shift in just 4 years' time with moderate liberal Republicans shifting away from Israel. And this, to me, gives you a good indication of why one of the more ardent critics of Israel within the Republican Party is actually, at this point, favored to win a competitive primary. You may know him, Thomas Massie. He, of course, is a representative from Kentucky's 4th District. He has been opposed by Donald Trump. Donald Trump has endorsed his opponent. Pro-Israel voices are also opposed. Many of them have also opposed Thomas Massie. But at this point, look at this. His chance of being the Republican nominee, winning that Republican primary in Kentucky's 4th District, is actually more likely than not to occur. Look at this. According to the Kalshi prediction market at this point, a 71% chance.
71% chance that a Republican who is basically anti-Israel and therefore I would say pro-Hamas is likely to win in Kentucky. What the hell are you drinking in Kentucky now? It's not good bourbon, I can tell you that. And then you look at young men that, according to the survey, they consider young men under the age of 50. They didn't call and ask me. I don't know why. I mean, I guess because of the age 50 that maybe they think I'm older than 50. They should have called me anyway. But once again, Harry Enten.
Younger men who were a key part of Donald John Trump's coalition back in 2024, they have very much shifted away from Israel. Look at this. Net favorability of Israel among men under the age of 50. In 2022, not too bad, but not too hot to trot either at minus 3 points. By 2025, again, down we go, minus 22 points. That is a 19-point shift in just 3 years' time. But it gets even worse. Look at this for Israel. Minus 47 points. That's a 44-point shift away from Israel on the net favorability amongst young men who, of course, shifted massively into the Republican column back in 2024. And they have been shifting away from Israel over the last 4 years.
I know it's hard to follow the numbers when they're being thrown at you on the radio. Be better to see the numbers in your face. But you get the point. 40% of, quote, young Republicans, those under 50, shifting away from supporting Israel. And they were the base and should remain a base for the Republican Party and Trump moving forward. But if they are going against Israel, and again I say, if you're against Israel, you are basically accepting Hamas. Some will say that's too much of a generalization. Well, I disagree, and you're entitled to disagree with me. California. I'm looking at a piece here that suggests California, in California, Israel is emerging as a defining Democrat test. And once again, one of Harry Enten's surveys, a Gallup poll, suggests that is true.
This is a change. This is a change. Who Americans sympathize more with, the Israelis or the Palestinians? Back in 2022, before the October 7th attacks, it was the Israelis by 28 points. That would even climb into the 40s, 50s, depending on which polling you looked at in terms of who Americans sympathize with, the margin very much on the side of Israel. But look at where we are now. in 2026, Americans sympathize more with the Palestinians by an 11-point margin. That is a shift of nearly 40 points in just 4 years' time. And when you compare it to 2023, after the October 7th attacks, we're talking about, what, a 50-60-point change? My goodness gracious. This is the best position that the Palestinians have ever been in the minds of the American public. The Palestinians making history in terms of who Americans sympathize more with. But it is not just the Israelis and the Palestinian conflict in which why we're seeing these shifts among all these different groups and overall as well. It is because of the man who right now is the prime minister, the longtime prime minister.
Netanyahu. Netanyahu has been in office off and on, and more recently in office for an extended period of time since 2022, but he'd also been in from 96 to 99 and then 2009 to 21. So they don't like Netanyahu any more than many Americans, not most at this point, hate Trump. In California, if they're going to make the congressional races as a proxy war over the divide on Israel, they point out from the race to succeed Pelosi in San Francisco to the primary in the Central Valley of San Francisco, Democrats are tearing into each other over U.S. support for Israel. Progressives, whether they're running to claim a long-sought Republican district or push out a liberal icon, say it's not complicated. Candidates who will not challenge Israel are out of step with their voters, and they're not going to be put back in power. So the issue is not just a symbolic debate. If Democrats win back Congress, the next class of lawmakers could help decide the level and terms of what the U.S. does in backing Israel. May I repeat that? If these kinds of Democrats get in power, they may well welcome Hamas into the chambers of Congress and reject Israel. Coming up, Erica Kirk back at Turning Point USA, still trying to salvage our nation.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every turn. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington,
takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
Cisco Kid was a friend of mine. Cisco Kid was a friend of mine. He drank whiskey, poncho, drink the wine.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
If you look around the world right now, Europe has surrendered itself to third world criminals, and under the Biden administration, we were on track for that for ourselves. But President Trump came in and course corrected. In countries like Nigeria, radical Islamists are murdering Christians for their faith. In Canada, they'll tell you you're better off getting medically assisted suicide than believing in the sanctity of life. While in America, we understand that a free life is worth living.
That is Erica Kirk, the widow of Charlie Kirk, speaking at a Turning Point USA event at a Phoenix church the other day. She was joined by President Trump at that event. And, of course, this followed the event she had to step away from in Georgia because of security threats directly against her. And J.D. Vance was there, and he went ahead and made an appearance, but he told her, considering what's happened to your family and your children, you do not have to take this risk. If your team says it's too dangerous and there's a serious threat, then you make that decision. Now, later, the Secret Service stated there was no credible threat. I don't know what they're constituting a credible threat. The woman's husband has been slaughtered in front of thousands of students previously. But she chose to go ahead and not take part in that event. But she did join President Trump in remarks at a church in Arizona. It's a Turning Point USA event called the Build the Red Wall. Now, the Red Wall is again trying to control states where we have conservatives in control. Build the Red Wall. It's not a physical wall, and yet it is. Trump was there with her to bolster support among young voters ahead of midterms. A recent polling from Yale says that affordability is the top concern of voters age 18 to 34. I would add this, not taking away what their concerns are about affordability. We've all had affordability issues. But riddle me this, where were the concerns about affordability when the Biden regulations and the Obama regulations were hammered into us saying that you're not going to be able to have a gas stove, a gas lawnmower, a gas car? You must switch electric or do your own walking. And when they were pushing rates left and right, and they were stealing on a constant basis, and also allowing others to steal. This midterm election, like all of them, is important. But in this case, we've got so many crying out, affordability. I'm not going to dismiss that casually. I know many are not where they would like to be when it comes to economic status. I understand that. But when we're in the middle of the war, can you not accept some responsibility and sacrifice at your part? And especially those 18 to 34. Especially those 18 to 24, 28, which makes up a lot of those downrange right now in harm's way in the Middle East. Where's your concern for their affordability to live? And where's your concern for the affordability of life if everything gets wiped out because Iran gets a nuclear weapon? I don't care if you're invested deep into gold, silver, or you got cash stuffed in your freezer and under your mattress. It will mean not a damn thing when a nuke goes off. When Trump made his appearance the other day at the Phoenix Church, he did get some flack, obviously led by the leftist media and some inside the Republican Party, because of that recent image, the AI image that supposedly depicted him as Jesus, because he was saying the pontiff is weak on crime. And he said, I look at that as a picture of me as a doctor healing our nation. I didn't see it that way, Mr. Trump. I saw it exactly as many thought it was, you appearing to be as Jesus in healing. I find that unacceptable, deplorable. Should not have been done. But he did take responsibility for posting it. Just claimed that, well, I thought I was a doctor healing the nation. I think you bought into some lie and spread it. But reference a midterm election and the value of it, and to build the red wall. Do you remember going back when Hillary Clinton was running against Trump the first time, the only time she did? And all the political commentators and pundits on the left, basically all the legacy media, Trump cannot win. He cannot break down the blue wall of the blue states. And they said that repeatedly. And Hillary believed it to the extent she didn't bother campaigning in some of those blue states. Oh, I got this. I don't need it. I don't need to go out there and waste my time. He didn't just climb over the blue wall. He broke it down. So now Republicans need to make sure our red wall is solid. So you're not really a Republican. Would you consider yourself an independent? Okay. So you're not a Trumpian. Would you consider yourself more in line with Kamala Harris? Good luck with that. No, she's not running the midterm, but the record of Biden and Harris is still on the table, as is the Trump record. And right now, all the left has to point to, he's got us in a war. He said he wouldn't. And yet he keeps trying to find ways to get out of it. He keeps offering peace deal after peace deal. To the extent that we are not hitting civilian populations, we're hitting industrial complexes, military installations, and putting a blockade in force to prevent Iran from getting more goods to make more weapons, and shipping out oil to get more money to continue the cycle. And yet from the Rachel Maddow show on MSN Now, Georgia Democrat Senator Ossoff said, I think people across the political spectrum are feeling outraged that while families in Georgia are made to pay more and more for everything, have you looked at what you're paying in Georgia for taxes and elsewhere, not federal taxes, nothing that Trump would have anything to do with? I'm just asking. I don't know what the numbers are. Haven't bothered researching. You may have relatives living in Georgia, and it may be a tougher time than it had been. Well, Ossoff is trying to use that as a bargaining chip to get more votes for the Democrats. So if you're paying more and more for everything, the first family is pocketing vast sums of money from all over the world. Have you heard that before during the Biden term when Hunter Biden was directly in contact with Russian oligarchs pocketing money, getting a big job at a Ukrainian oil company when he did not know the first thing about oil? If you want to complain that the Trump family is getting rich off of the world because of these things, so well, go ahead. But he says he's referring directly to Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, Jew, leading diplomacy in the Middle East. He said he's bringing in billions from Middle East princes and sheikhs going around the region asking for billions more while conducting nuclear diplomacy. He said it's cartoonist, it's grotesque, it's obscene. Where's your proof that he's doing that? I forgot. If you're a guest on Rachel Maddow or any of the other legacy media, you don't have to defend your statements. You don't have to back them up. You don't have to put a fact one up. You can just say it. And everybody will slurp it up, as I've said before, like puppies at the water bowl. So he said, with command of Senate committees and subpoena power, once we're back in power, imagine Secretary Pete Hegseth, if he remains secretary that long, I suspect at that point we'll have to come and testify under oath about reports that his stockbroker was calling around trying to buy him defense stocks just days before the Iran war broke out. I have not heard one mention of that until now. I don't know where it began. Some seedy mind in a dark corner. Hey, psst, you know Jared's calling around and Hegseth trying to buy defense stocks right before we move on Iran? If it's true, nail him to the wall. I'm in favor of that. There are no sacred cows, in my view. And if they step over the line and we're doing that, yeah, nail them to the wall. But give me one shred of proof. One. And they cannot. But he does say once we're back in control, we'll be able to investigate the participation in this grotesque conflict of interest. We will deter corruption. This is Democrat Senator Ossoff, who stood silently on the sidelines while the Biden crime family was racking up everything it could around the world. And then don't forget the Hillary Clinton Foundation, when they were out not trying to save the world, but save the Clintons and dealing with Russia directly. And Bill Clinton getting a massive fee just for showing up and doing a, hey, how you doing? I got some stories to share with you. $500,000 for something like that. I'll be honest with you. I would do it for 50. And I think I could be more entertaining, to be quite honest. We have enemies outside our borders, and we have enemies of our nation inside our borders. Trump made a remark the other day regarding enemies, and he's talking about foreign enemies, but I want to encapsulate all of it, and it bears repeating.
America was not founded by weak and timid men who cowered in the face of evil or sat by as danger loomed and let our country go to hell. We are descended from the likes of George Washington, Andrew Jackson, Generals Ulysses S. Grant, Douglas MacArthur, General George Patton. Our ancestors knew exactly what to do with America's enemies. Beat them and beat them good. That's what they had to do. That's what they had to do.
It's what we have to do with our enemies around the world and what we must do with enemies inside our nation. Now, in our nation, you can have a dissenting view, and we're not going to line you up against a wall and shoot you, as they do in Iran. So all of those Democrats that are pushing more for Iran to come out victorious, shame on you, first of all. And secondly, stop to think what would happen if we had the Iranian regime ruling this nation. We don't have the fortitude, the courage, the backbone, the spirit of the greatest generation that saved us during World War II. Not just our nation, but the world. Germany, you know that. And Russia, you know that as well. And England and Spain and the rest of the European nations. But right now they want us to do all the heavy lifting. It's always easier to criticize when you're not on the field, is it not? Especially when you're high in the stands. I can see a guy open down there. Why don't you pass to him? You're trying to throw the game away. We're trying to defend America. We will be back here tomorrow at 6. Please join us. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.